Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
What you're about to hear is a program that is geared more for parents than it is for young children. In fact, if you have any kids listening with you right now, you might want to go straight to our website at homeward.com so you can review the program on your own.
During the teen years, there is a normal time when teens do kind of want to pull away a little bit or start calling their own shots. And so, yeah, during the teen years, a girl is more likely to push the boundaries that have been set for her. And if she's strong-willed, it's going to be even more of an issue.
You have a little girl, and then the day comes when she gets her first permanent wave and goes to her first real party. And from that day on, you're in a constant state of panic.
From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. In just a moment, part two of Jim's continuing conversation with author and speaker and magazine publisher Susie Schellenberger. We're going to talk about raising a spiritually strong daughter. You know, Homeward is on Facebook, and of course, so is Azusa Pacific University. Dr. Jim Burns is on Twitter. You get his tweets just about every day. And if you want to learn more about how to get the most of your social media experience with Homeward, just go to Facebook.com, or you can go to Twitter. You can check us out at Homeward.com and find out more about how to follow us via social media. It's a great way to connect, especially if you are the parent of teens or preteens. That's the way they're connecting as well. And now with part one of today's program, here's Dr. Jim Burns.
Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. So glad you are with us today and very excited to have our guest back. Susie Schellenberger is our guest. We're talking about raising a spiritually strong daughter. It's a continuing conversation that we've been having. Susie Schellenberger is one of America's most recognized experts on helping moms, and I think dads too, connect with their teen and preteen daughters. She has put her life into this. She is the founder of Focus on the Family's Brio magazine, which, by the way, I read every month and appreciated it very much. Would then pass it on to my girls, but I'd get it first. Read by hundreds of thousands of girls and influenced so many girls, generations of girls. Today, she is the founding editor of Susie, and it's a brand new magazine for teen girls. And we're going to have Susie talk about that because it's a very exciting new work. Former youth pastor, high school teacher who makes her home in Colorado. Susie, welcome back.
Oh, Jim, it's always good to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Well, I love this book. I'm holding this book, you know, Raising a Spiritually Strong Daughter. And I know you focused quite a bit on the moms, but I need to tell you, I read the book and I loved the book because it's right with the heart of Homeward that we want our parents to understand that, you know what, it's our job to help raise spiritually strong daughters and sons. And that actually, when we lay this foundation, the kids will make right decisions and wise decisions about all the other stuff we talk about here on the broadcast and you'd talk about, from cutting to eating disorders to whatever. So many times we try to band-aid something when in fact the foundation is, if we can get them to be connected with God, then they're going to make some of the right and wise decisions, because now they're doing it not on their own, but with the Lord.
That's right. And that strong foundation is really what we want to center on. And I'm glad that you mentioned as a dad that you read the book, because I think even though, you know, we've kind of addressed the whole thing to moms and daughters, really dads could easily pick this up and gain just as much from it as a mom. And there might be some single dads, you know, who really kind of need some guidance or some practical tips on getting through to his teen daughter. And this would just be it. Also, I think they could also realize that many of the principles and stories and situations we talk about in the book would also be applicable for a teen boy.
Hey, you're exactly right. And I was thinking about that when I was reading it. You know, you were talking about principles and applications, and I want to get into one that you talk about in your book.
Okay.
Between moms and daughters, and I saw this with all three of my daughters at different stages and with different height of emotions, but it's what you call the struggle for power.
Yeah.
And, you know, this amazed me. You know, I was raised, Susie, in a home with all boys, and all of a sudden now I'm in a home with girls and drama and, you know, all this stuff. And as our kids moved it into the teenage years, there really was almost a struggle for power within the relationship with Kathy. And, you know, sometimes I was the referee and really didn't know what to do. I mean, help us understand how this occasional, you know, struggle between a mother and her teenage daughter can be resolved actually peacefully. You seem to give a lot of good input on that.
Well, some of it's a lot of estrogen, and some of it's just very normal. As you know, Jim, being the teen expert, that during the teen years, there is a normal time when teens do kind of want to pull away a little bit or start calling their own shots. And so, yeah, during the teen years, a girl is more likely to push the boundaries that have been set for her. And if she's strong-willed, it's going to be even more of an issue. My advice is trust her unless there's a reason not to trust her. She's pushing for more freedom, or she's got that power struggle. I don't want to come in at 10:30. Please trust me till midnight. Well, you know, there might be, maybe she's been on time every night for the past 3 months. Okay, maybe one night you give her an extra 30 minutes. How does she deal with coming in at 11 o'clock? You know, you try that for a while. And so you loosen, you give her a little bit more rope, and then you bring it back in. If she blows it, you let it back out. It's kind of a process, really. But your daughter does need to know that you as the parent have the final word, and I hope, moms, that that you're encouraging dialogue between the two of you. Your daughter needs to know, I can disagree with mom and dad. I just have to do it in a gentle and respectful way. It doesn't involve rolling my eyes or screaming, you hate me, or I hate you, and you never understand, and everybody else, and shutting the door. That's not open communication, but she needs to know that there is a right way and a right time to disagree respectfully, and the final power still belongs to the parents, always. But there are times when you can give and take a little bit.
No, that's great input. What do you do in a situation when the I hate yous have come and the doors have been slammed, both by mom and daughter, or dad and daughter, whatever it may be? What kind of advice do you give to the mom in that case, where maybe she actually has blown it along with her daughter and there are some slamming of doors and some words spoken that really shouldn't have been spoken?
You know, I've actually heard stories of parents who have taken the door off the hinges of her daughter's bedroom because she slammed the door so much. That would be one option, but I think that's a little bit severe, unless it's just happening all the time. I would hope mom, as the mature one in the relationship, maybe she slammed her door too. I hope that she would be the one, though, who would open her door and walk into her daughter's room and say, you know what, that was not an appropriate response that I gave you. I can't think of a reason in the world, honey, why I ever slammed the door, and I just did, and will you forgive me? And I noticed that you slammed your door too, and you know, you were acting off what I did. I want you to be able to see me as a great role model, and slamming my door was not the right thing to do. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Let's sit down and talk this out, okay? Let's keep calm about it. Let's keep our emotions in check. And if we can't do this, if we can't learn to communicate in a calm way with our emotions in check, just a logical conversation, then maybe we need to consider you and I going to counseling together so we can learn how to communicate effectively without raising our voices and seething in anger.
Great point. You know, and I think they can learn a lot from Susie Schellenberger's book, Raising a Spiritually Strong Daughter. It's not only the book we're talking about today, but it's been the book all month that we've been having conversation about, Roger. Susie, you had something in your book, and I want to spend some time both now and then also after the break. You had something in terms of raising a spiritually strong daughter. You say it isn't easy, but you've identified 7 signs that you're headed in the right direction. And I love these signs, and I want to throw a couple of them out, and then I want you to comment. And the first sign is you're not in competition with each other. Talk about that.
Right. A lot of moms tend to relive their own teen life through their daughter. And when that happens, it's real easy for your daughter to see mom as a competitor. It, you know, mom is always trying to get to know her friends better. Mom wants the friends to come to her. Mom wants to be a friend to her daughter's friends. And that's kind of tough on a daughter. Yes, a daughter wants her mom to be the one that's accepted by all of her friends, but she still needs to be a mom. She still needs to be a parent figure. But when a mom, and I've seen moms do this, when moms try to become just like her daughter's friends, it's weird. And there is an unhealthy competition with each other.
I appreciate you saying it's weird, because it really is weird.
That.
Yeah, parents need to remember that. You know, moms, do hear that. Don't be like your daughters. Don't dress like your daughters. Don't act like your daughters. I mean, there's important times to in building relationship, obviously. But I see some moms who are, you know, in their 40s or, you know, maybe even 30s or 50s, and they're acting like a 15-year-old.
I think one thing that will help moms not to do that, not to be in competition with their daughter, is to find activities that the two of you can do together and to enjoy together. It might be something physical. It might be skating. It might be jogging or walking together. I know daughters and moms who just every evening they just go out and they just walk around the block a couple of times.
Right.
Maybe it's test driving new cars or just geocaching or shopping together. Find something the two of you can do together and enjoy together, because that takes out the competition factor. And also, if moms can realize my self-esteem,
yes,
my self-image cannot be determined by how my daughter reacts to me. Because, you know, Jim, you know this, the teen expert here, you know that every minute in a teen girl's life can be a complete catastrophe. I mean, it can be a volcanic explosion every minute, every second, or every hour, because everything in her life is changing. And she may hate you one minute, and the next minute she's sobbing in your arms. The next minute you're her hero. The very next minute she doesn't even want to talk. I mean, her emotions are changing and fluctuating faster than a clock can keep up with.
You know, Roger and I are both smiling at this because we've experienced that firsthand.
I bet you have. And a mom or a dad just cannot say, well, I guess I'm just not a good parent, or, you know, I don't feel good about myself today because my daughter's not talking to me. No, as adults, our self-esteem, our security, our confidence has to be in a strong, growing, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. When our security comes from Him, then our daughter's reaction to us won't shake us. Yeah, it'll hurt us. You know, we're not made of steel, but it won't shake us. It won't mess with our foundation or our self-image.
Great point. And listen, we're going to take a break. I actually want to come back to that. You tell a story in your book about a teen who became pregnant outside of marriage, and the girl was shaken, but the mom was devastated. And I want you to actually kind of help us see that, because a lot of times that does happen. And I just appreciate so much having Susie Schellenberger with us today. Raising a Spiritually Strong Daughter is our topic. I know we have a lot of people who are listening and listening intently, because this is where they live and what they're doing. We'll be right back. Roger's going to tell you about this great book. It's a wonderful book, and it's called Raising a Spiritually Strong Daughter, Guiding Her Toward a Faith That Lasts. Can't think of a better person who could have written this book than Susie Schellenberger. We'll be right back.
You know, the thing, Jim, that is perplexing to so many parents is the number of parents who are raising kids in Christian homes and raising them with a pretty strong and vibrant faith, we think, and then the kids go off to college and they leave the faith and only half of them are coming back. It's a staggering statistic. And yet the great thing about what Susie Schellenberger writes about in her book, Raising a Spiritually Strong Daughter, is ways that you can kind of start planting the seeds of faith in your kids in high school, middle school, even elementary school, especially as it pertains to the father-daughter relationship and mother-daughter relationship. If you want to learn more about the book Raising a Spiritually Strong Daughter, visit our online resource center at homeward.com. If you're not there already, go to the radio broadcast section. You'll find Susie's name with today's program. Hit the link. You'll get the information you need. And now let's continue. This is the conclusion of Dr. Jim Burns' conversation with author Susie Schellenberger on this special edition of Homeward.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns. Great conversation today. Susie Schellenberger is with us. We're talking about raising a spiritually strong daughter. She's written a wonderful book called Raising a Spiritually Strong Daughter, Guiding Her Toward a Faith That Lasts. That's what we want. I feel it's very practical. Great input. Hey, Susie, right before the break, I threw something out at you that I loved in your book. And I want to kind of read a paragraph to you, and then I want you to respond to it. What I was saying was, it was a story that you wrote and told about a teen who became pregnant outside of marriage. It's interesting. Tomorrow, we're having a big shower for a girl who is having twins, and it's outside of marriage. And what my wife and my daughters are all involved in it, because they're going to show this girl incredible grace, and they've got 30 women coming. And they're just, you know, our house is now being decorated by my family, because they want to, you know, be able to kind of come alongside of her. At the same time, the mom is going through a real tough time. She's a pastor's wife, and she's just struggling with the fact that her daughter has made this incredible mistake. I think the mom is more devastated than the daughter, and that's why I want to bring this up, because it's so close to home. You said that the girl said, "I suddenly felt as though my mom's life was completely destroyed because of me. She was embarrassed around her friends at church, and she kept asking me where she had failed. Hey, it was my mistake, not hers." And you have this in this section that you talked about right before, you know, where a mom's self-image is not determined by her daughter, but this mom's self-image was. And I think it's hard for a mom to not do that. Respond to me on that.
Well, it is. Again, it goes back to, mom, your self-worth has to come from a strong, intimate, growing relationship with Christ. And if your daughter feels that the way you view yourself is dependent on her, and guess what? She's never going to have the freedom to become all that God wants her to become. I mean, your daughter can't be responsible for you. Your self-worth, mom, can be enhanced through your daughter, but it can't be based on your daughter. So yeah, your daughter blows it. Your daughter blows it big. And all your friends at church are saying, hey, we've heard about your daughter. You know what? You can still love her. You can still be proud of her. And you can still walk behind her, beside her, put your arms around her and support her and say, yeah, my daughter did, she did fail, but I failed too. And all of us have failed. And I'm not going to let this affect my daughter's future. I'm certainly not going to let it affect mine.
Right. You know, it's a great point. I have a mentor in my life who talks about having a monkey on your back, and it's your kid's monkey, but you're carrying it around. And a lot of times I think moms and dads do that with their own kids. They're kind of carrying the burden as opposed to, you know, the kid made a mistake. They're going to live with this, with the consequences. And yet at the same time, they're going to move on. Parents need to get past some of that. Let's talk about boys. I mean, obviously, some girls want to talk to their moms and even their dads about boys. But other times, you know, it's kind of the big quiet thing. You say that there's a watermark in measuring the health of a mother-daughter relationship is if actually the daughter can talk about guys without fear of judgment and condemnation. I want you to unpack that for a minute.
Okay, I really believe, Jim, that every girl in the world ought to have someone she can go to and talk to about anything. She can say anything. Nothing's off limits. Nothing's too embarrassing or silly. Nothing's too bad. Well, ideally, that person should be your mom. Unfortunately, a lot of girls can't or feel as though they can't go to their mom. But when a girl and when a daughter and her mom are really, really tracking and all these, of course, all these other things, you know, you've read the first, you know, 100 pages of the book and all these other things are starting to click, you know, hopefully at that point, a girl is able to come to her mom and say, you know what, I heard this term at school. I don't know what it means. They were talking about cyber sex. What does that mean? And the mom's not going to go, who was talking about cyber sex? What? We don't talk about it. But mom will say, well, okay, let's talk about that. And again, this is something that probably you don't want to talk about in public, but you and I, honey, we can have this conversation because you can come to me about anything. When a girl feels that she can come to her mom and not be judged and not have the gasp effect, you know, then she's going to feel more free to talk to mom about guys and about, you know, the guy that she has an interest in. And mom, when did you know that dad was the right one? How did you know dad was the right one? But it's going to have a foundation of, I'm not going to judge you and I'm not going to gasp or get embarrassed or turn the conversation off when you say something that I feel is inappropriate. I mean, I would rather a girl ask her mom the definition of a bad word or a curse term or something that's sleazy and dirty rather than to go to her friends. I mean, that's where we want information to come from the home. So mom can say, well, you know, that's really not an appropriate activity, but let's talk about it so you'll understand what it is and why we shouldn't talk about that in public.
You know, so much of what you're saying today and even last time we were talking is about relationship. It's a mom building into her daughter's life a relationship that's trusting, authentic, loving, and really God-honoring. And, you know, it all comes down to, and I think you wrote this in the back of your book, that, you know, a mom at one time can kind of become the spiritual hero of their daughter if they build this relationship.
Yeah.
Not easy, but it must be done.
And you know, Jim, I think that sometimes these questions, you know, when girls do reach that point where they can be open and honest with their mom and ask her questions, there's going to be times, moms, when you're going to feel a little bit embarrassed, you might feel a little bit shocked, you may even be afraid, but don't let that show in your face. Just keep that calm demeanor and continue to welcome your daughter's conversations about the opposite sex and you know, use dialogue and conversation in terms that she understands in your talk so that she will understand what this word means, what this term means, and she'll get the right information from you. But just keep that calm demeanor on your face, even though you may be afraid or embarrassed or a little shocked.
Great input. And again, thanks so much for being with us. We don't have much time left, but I must have you talk to our audience about the exciting new stuff that you're doing with SusieMag.com and all the rest. So give us some insight into, you know, what you're doing, because on a daily basis, you're helping girls make right and wise decisions and actually come alongside the moms and the dads as well. So tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, I would love to. Well, Jim, as you know, Focus on the Family was publishing Brio Magazine for several years. I created that for Focus about 20 years ago and served as editor for 20 years. Anyway, they decided it was an economic decision that they needed to cut back on some things, and so they discontinued the direct-to-teen ministry. And so Brio is no longer in print, and they had to let our staff go. And just in praying about God's will for the next season of my life, I just continued to sense Him say, start a new magazine. I created Brio through you several years ago. I can create something even more relevant today. So on a step of faith, I obeyed Christ and stepped out and have launched a new printed monthly magazine for Christian teen girls called Susie Magazine. We also have website, and I know you're mentioning the web. I'll throw it out once again, susiemag.com. It's S-U-S-I-E. And though it is a printed monthly magazine, in October, the second phase of our website will launch. When that launches, we're going to unleash an online global sisterhood.
Great.
And that means girls who have already subscribed to the printed magazine will get a membership code for free. Everyone else will have to pay $13 for it, but they'll get a membership code for free that when they go to our website, they'll punch in that code, and that will allow them access to the global sisterhood. And, you know, you're thinking, well, what's that? Well, it's one way for your daughter never to have to be alone again. So it's a way for girls to connect with each other and to literally stand tall for the stuff that really matters in life. And so it's really more than a printed magazine, though that's where you start. It's really a global sisterhood that will unite teen Christian girls into standing together and into praying together and into ultimately changing their world for the Lord.
Wow. I'm excited. And you know what, Roger? I am definitely excited about the idea that these kids can come online. You know, it's today's world, as we look at social media, this is something so needed. Susie, I'm thrilled that God is leading you in that way. We at Homeward want to be able to back you in any way we can. And if there's anything we can do at Homeward to help get these girls talking to each other and being a positive peer support, please let us know. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Jim, thank you. I tell you what, you're just amazing, and I always admire you, and I just appreciate all you do for the kingdom. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you.
And that concludes part two of Dr. Jim Burns' two-part conversation with Susie Schellenberger here on the Homeward broadcast today. Our theme has been Raising a Spiritually Strong Daughter. Susie is the author of numerous books. She's been studying youth culture, especially as it pertains to teen and pre-teenage girls. Been studying this for 30 years, and we're always grateful to have some time with Susie. And Jim, I know this is a topic, good conversation with Susie today. It's a topic that we all need to pay closer attention to. It's a topic that's beneficial for moms. It's also beneficial for dads, raising a spiritually strong daughter.
Well, Roger, I absolutely appreciate Susie. I appreciate her going back to the spiritual foundation.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times in homes, we're not dealing with the spiritual foundation. We're trying to do those Band-Aid things.
Yeah.
One of the things that she said that I appreciated so much was she talked about praying with our daughters. And we sure didn't do everything right with our kids. And as we look back, there are some things we could have learned even from her and her book.
Yeah.
But most nights, I prayed with my daughters. I would say almost every night. You know, we very seldom missed it. And a lot of times as they got older, they didn't want to pray back. You know, they prayed when they were younger and it was cute. And then, you know, but I always made the sign of the cross. And, you know, that's not even in my tradition necessarily. I mean, the cross is that. But, you know, I just always put it on her forehead. All three of the girls, I would kind of do that. And, you know, even as they got older, they were concerned about that because they were afraid my oily fingers would give them pimples. So we're not talking about hyper spirituality here.
Right, right.
But just a year ago, my daughter Christy was back in the house, and Christy is in her 20s now, and she'd gone through kind of a tough time in her life for a short time, and she was in our house, and I said, Christy, can I pray for you? Because she wasn't living with us. She'd gone through college and whatnot, and now she's back. And she said, sure, Daddy, and I prayed with her, and then I started to walk out, and she took my hand, and she had me place the sign of the cross on her forehead, as I'm doing right now in Radio Land.
Yeah.
And it was this amazing emotional moment of going, you know, there were months that went on where I wasn't even sure Christy was caring if I was praying for her.
Right.
But at this moment, at this time, she was the one who grabbed my hand and had me do that sign of the cross. So parents, I want to encourage you. It's never too early or too late to pray with your kids. And don't expect hyper miracles immediately. But, you know, just that element of prayer is a big deal to them. And I realized that day that all that time I had invested with praying with Christy and wondering if it was really, you know, making a difference, made a difference to her because she grabbed my hand placed mm-hmm. the sign of the cross on her forehead, and we went on. So I want to encourage parents to have those kinds of experiences with their kids.
Boy, that's precious. That really is special and a fitting footnote for today's edition of the Homeward Broadcast. Remember, if you missed any part of today's program, we stream audio at homeward.com. If you would like the audio CD, and this could be a great resource to have in your home if you're a part of a small group, maybe you and your spouse, or in a couples group with three or four other sets of parents who have daughters who are teen or pre-teenage years, you want to get a copy of this, and we'll be happy to send you one. Ben will burn you one right now, as long as you contact us. Call 800-397-9725 to express your interest. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, the zip code 92693. And all we ask is that we'll be happy to send you a copy of the CD as our way of thanking you for your tax-deductible donation of any amount in support of the Ministry of Homeward today. So drop us a line, give us a call, get in contact with us. We would love to hear from you. And now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.